presentation in the session on new developments in transducer technology. For the last several years, the group at Mayo Clinic has been doing some very exciting work, and based on some earlier work in the optics literature on developing non-diffracting sources. And today, Dr. Liu from that group will talk to us about non-diffracting transducers and new developments in beam propagation.
Today, I'm going to talk about beam propagation. First, I'm going to introduce some the background of these beams. As we know, the conventional beams subject to diffraction, and they have a very short depth of field. And their focus are material dependent. That means if you design a transducer and with a certain curvature, but you couple two different material, it will have different focal lengths. Recently, new type of beams are developed. We call this type of beam limited diffraction beams. The first localize the solutions to the wave equation in electromagnetics was discovered by Brittingham in 1983, and then a tremendous amount of work done by Ziolkowski subsequently. They call those waves focus wave mode. And in 1987, Durning in University of Rochester discovered Bessel beam, which is one kind of limited diffraction beam. And recently we work based on the previous new beams and developed new solutions, new limited diffraction solutions to the wave equation. And this equation is generalized, which include some of the limited diffraction beams known previously, in addition to new types of beams, a lot, infinity of new types of beams. One type of which have X-like shape in a plane along the wave axis, so we call them X-ray. And what's the significance of these new beams? They are theoretically diffraction free, and they have a very large depth of field when applied to imaging. And even they are produced by a finite aperture and a finite energy. This is distinguished from conventional beam because they, no matter how big the aperture, if the beam is focused, it's still subject to diffraction spreading. And also, these new types of beams are material independent. Their focal size or focal spot are material independent. And so they might have many medical and non-medical applications. First, I'm going to talk about beams. What's beams? There are three fundamental things. First, the waves and the interference and the aperture waiting to produce beams. Like this two-point source and produce a spherical wave. When you move the two point source to get closer, they will produce interference, and then the interference will produce the beam. And the waves is a vibration of is a propagation of the vibration. So if you vibrate a string, a wave will produce the, along the string. This is the actual waiting to produce beams in a real world, I mean, use transducer. Transducer can be apodized differently and produce different types of beams. If we don't apodize it, we'll produce a piston-like beam. And if we apodize it with Gaussian function, we'll produce Gaussian beam. And if you apodize it with Bessel function, it will produce limited diffraction beam, which is one of these kind of beams. And in real world, we can use a stepwise approximation to achieve this exact hybridization. So we can subdivide transducers electrode into many annular rings, and then each rings to represent a certain voltage, and then to gradually approach the exact actual weighting. For X-ray, we have to hybridize in both directions, in both spatial, which along the radial axis, and in time. So for the central element, you drive with this waveform, and for the second element, you drive a little different waveform, and then for the third one, you drive another different waveform. And this is the beam we measured in water, which is piston-like beam produced by a 12.5 millimeter transducer, and it's focused at a 50 millimeter here. Transducer is here. And this plane shows a plane along the wave axis, and the scale, color scale here represents the relative amplitude of the wave. This is a focused Gaussian beam. It's focused in water in 120 millimeter, and we measure it in water. And here is a transducer of 50 millimeter size, and the beam measure starts from 5 millimeter to about 205. And this is when transducers are hybridized with Bessel function, which produces a Bessel beam. You can see it's just the right start from the beginning of transducer is about 5 millimeter away from transducer, and then to 205 millimeter away from transducer, the beam just like a pencil. So it's really, sometimes people call it a pencil beam. So next I'm going to show some video. So please turn the lights off. Now I'm going to talk about how the beam are formed element by element from the annular array transducer. This beam, first we will show CW Bessel beam, how to see how it's formed. And we really measure this beam in water and then display it here. So we excite the number of element of transducer increasingly, and then measure the beam, and we can see how it's formed gradually. From just the one central element excitation to all the 10 elements here of our transducer to produce this kind of beam. And here is 5 millimeter away from surface transducer, and here is about 210 millimeters away from transducer, and this direction is 50 millimeter. So the beam is about 2.5 millimeter in width at 6 dB. And now I'm going to talk about how the pulse waves are formed at different depths. So the pulse waves are formed at three different depths. This is 50, 100, and 200 millimeter away from the surface of transducer. You can see when the number of elements of the transducer increased, and how these beams are formed. And this is two-dimensional view, and this is a three-dimensional view. We get the its surface and display it with a surface display, which is a three-dimensional view of the blob. Now we show how the X-rays are formed at four different depths. It's formed at 85, 170, 255, and 340 millimeters away from the transducer. The scale here is again the same as the previous figures. It's 50 millimeters in this direction, and as it's shown here, it's about 5.6 millimeters in this direction. So you see all the elements are excited, a nice pulse are formed in the depths of interest. Now I'm going to show next how these beams propagate in the space. First I show the Bessel beam, how it propagates. It will propagate a steady focus for within its depth of field and suddenly blow out after the depth of field. So this is the Bessel beam in two-dimensional view and a three-dimensional view. And you can see it propagated from 25, 50, 70 and until certain depths. Now it's 300 millimeters away from transducers. The beam just spread. But within the depth of interest, it stays in focus nicely. So here is the distance. And next is how the X-ray propagates in the space. You can see here propagated from about the surface of transducer to more than 400 millimeters away from the transducer. So it stays in focus after when it's propagated and then finally it's blown out. Please turn the slide down. Next, I'm talking about application. One of the application of these beams in pulse echo imaging. In pulse echo imaging, we require high resolution, which means the beam need to have small beam widths and have wide bandwidth, which you will get a very high actual resolution. And we also require the beam have large depths of field. We want it to stay in focus in the all depths of interest. And we also want the image to have high contrast, which means the beam need to have low silos. First, I'm talking about how the pulse echo imaging works. First, a short pulse transmitted from a transducer and in solidify an object, and then the echo returns are received by the same transducer and produce an A line. If we scan the transducer in this direction and put all the A lines together, you will show a pulse echo image. And here is the way conventional beam to increase its depth of field, which they transmit the beam at a certain depth and then cut the images around its focal depth and then montage them together to synthesize a nice image which is produced by beams of large depth of field. You can see in this way it takes a lot of time to do that. If you want to get a better result and you focus transmit and focus to many different depths and cut do the montage many times, it will reduce greatly the image frame rate. And however, even if this can be done to increase the depth of field, but each focal spot have different focal size. That means the beam still diffracting. In a small F number and in a very sharp focus, small focal length, it will have very small focal spot. But in the bigger F number, it will have bigger spot. So the beam still diffracting, although you can increase the depth of view. And this is dynamic focusing used in commercial equipment, which means that if you transmit, if you receive the beam, and then you adaptively adjust your focus to follow the echoes gradually returning from different depths of tissue, first from the closer distance and then to farther distance. In this way, you also can see the beam will focus very well in the very near distance and focus not so well in the farther distance because of big F number. And now I'm going to show you the pulse echo image we obtained from experiment. This is an image of a commercial RMI 4138 tissue equivalent phantom. And it has a lot of white patterns inside, and the images are obtained with a transducer. Now it's a Bessel transducer, transmit and receive in Bessel mode. And scan across the top of the phantom and then get these images. Here the dimension is 135 millimeters in this direction and 110 in this. And the transducer is about 20 millimeters on top of the this top surface. And you can see the image are pretty nicely focused all the way in the, all the depths of interest. Why if you transmit with a conventional focused Gaussian beam, it just focus at one depth. And you can see only the images around the focus are sharp, are clear, but out of the focus, it's blurred out. Next, I'm going to talk about some of the real-time images obtained by this new beam. First, we will talk about the system and in vitro images and in vivo liver and heart images. This is the transducer, which is 14 elements and a 3.5 millimeter composite polymer transducer. It's a wideband transducer and can scan in sector format with a stem motor. And this is the system we built, this box, which can transmit the beam simultaneously for the 14 channel. And the top and the bottom part are machine provided by InterSpec company. We use their dynamic focus receive, which is a 6-element receive. And we combine our 14 element into 6 and then to make use of their receiving system. But since we have no way to get into the receiving system, we can't adjust, fine-tune the system, receiving system. But we can compare with the same receiving system how our transmitter with different beams and to see how they have difference in the real-time in vitro and in vivo images. And this is the phantom we used for image, which is commercial ATS. Multi-purpose phantom, which number is 539. And this is the images of the phantom. We use X-ray to transmit, again use the InterSpec conventional receive to receive and process the beam. And this is the image obtained by Bessel beam, and this is by unweighted, and this is by focus percussion, unweighted by focal depth is about here, which is 85 millimeters away from the surface of transducer. And we can see the images are very nicely focused, staying focused up to very deep depths. And for the conventional focus Gaussian beam, you can see the spectral pattern is more coarse than the beam with X-ray. And we can see also the contrast is very good because we can resolve all the echoless holes, even very small, and as compared to when we transmit with conventional beam. And this is these are images obtained by in vivo liver from a volunteer. We can see the speckle pattern down here and here, and compared to the conventional beam, it's nicely focused in all depth. Also, it's just transmitted once. Now need to transmit several times and montage them together, where we can get a very high resolution here. And also contrast looks good. And these two, again, are limited diffraction beam images. And these two are conventional beam images. Now I will mention another application area of these new types of beams. Before I do that, I will show you some video which show the three heart beating with these new types of beam. Please turn off the. I'm going to show the long axis view of the heart. This is a thinning loop. And we can see the mitral valve here. Also see that the depth of field is big for this kind of beam. It focuses very, very good in this region. This is unweighted. And you can see here it's a little bit out of focus. For a focused Gaussian beam, we can see it's defocused here, but the contrast is better than the unweighted beam here. Please turn the slide on. So the other application of this new type of beam might be tissue characterization, because the beam will stay in focus and diffraction correction might not be necessary. It's not only a large depth of field, but it's not that diffracting in nature. Now I'm talking about another application area of this new type of beam. It might be a non-destructive evaluation of materials. In non-destructive evaluation of materials, because the material inspected is have various speed or sound, and it's very hard to focus the beam at a certain depth or use dynamic focusing, etc., like in medical imaging. So with limited diffraction beam, it's always focused. And it also have a material independent focus. That means the focal spot won't increase, even if you change to different material of a very big difference of speed of sound. And for conventional beams, the focus, they only focus at one depth. And this focal depth also is material dependent. The focal length will change as your material have higher speed of sound. This is the block of phantom we made to do non-destructive evaluation. And we drill a pair of holes. You can see it has a small hole, 1 millimeter in size here, and a bigger hole. And this is the images we obtained. when we place the phantom in different depths from about 20 millimeter to more than 200 millimeter in this depth, we can see exactly in very close distance, which have edge weight because we appetize the transducer with annular array. And we can see the pattern resolve pretty well in various steps. With the conventional focus Gaussian beam, we just focus in water in about 120 millimeters. But the material have four times as high speed of sound as the water. So the focal length modified by the material itself to very close to transducer. So the good image is only obtained at very near the surface of transducer and around its focus. But out of focus, the beam is just spread out. So you can't recognize what's the real structure inside the steel block, what's the frost shape, etc. So I'm going to point out one of the important features of this new beam. When it's applied to imaging, pulse echo imaging, it will have a depth-independent resolution. Or it will have a shift-invariant pointer spread function in relatively, if the material expected of less phase aberration. And this means a lot of image restoration process can be, a technique can be used to restore the images. Now I'm going to show this is a schematic of pointer spread function at a different depth with the new beam, the limited diffraction beam. The pointer spread function will be exactly, almost exactly the same within its depth of view. And this is the images we obtained, we have shown previously, which is used vessel transmitting and receiving for the RMI-413A tissue equivalent phantom. And we deconvolve this image, use only one deconvolution kernel, which is gathered from this point, pointed by arrow, and deconvolve the whole image, and we get these new images. And we can see, in addition to in addition to the resolution enhancement, this is resolution pattern, the silos are reduced by about 10 dB here. Now we can conclude the talk about the new beams we developed recently, like vessel beam X-ray and large families of new beams. And these new beams provide us new concepts. They are theoretically diffraction free, and they have very large depth of field in practice. That means even if they are produced with a finite aperture, these beams will stay very focused very well within their large depth of field. And also they have material independent focus. That means it will be convenient for non-destructive evaluation of materials. And also they have a shifted invariant pulse pointer spread function when applied to imaging. That means the image restoration procedure followed will be much more simplified. And if the material does not present a severe phase aberration. And because of these properties of the new beams, they might have many new applications, which include the medical and the non-medical applications. Thank you for your attention.
We do have time for a few questions. Are there some? Any questions at all? Stuart?
I just want to ask you, some of the clinical images that you showed, the differences were a bit subtle between the various non-diffracting beams and the conventional processing. What do you think you have to do in terms of improving the signal processing or the sampling and the aperture to reach the kinds of objectives that that you initially set forth to accomplish?
We are going to improve the receiving circuit and to get a better receiving, better dynamic focus for receiving. And that will, I believe, will increase the quality of the images. And also, we are still working on numerous silo reduction projects and try to further reduce the silos of these new types of images.
Any questions? Chuck?
Yeah, what kind of side load levels do you get with a system which has the conventional dynamic receive and the X-beam transmit?
But this particular system we can't measure because that's an inter-spec machine. We have no way to get into the machine to measure the pulse echo.
Can you calculate the side load levels?
Yeah, we calculated it's pretty low. If we can upsize it with Gaussian upsization, it will make the silo very low. So we hope that we can get into the system and weight the transducer aperture and reduce the silo.
Question?
What do your size compared to
the conventional
transducer? I can't hear you. What is the size of your new type of transducer?
It's 25 millimeters in the maximum diameter. Of the rings.
Any other questions, Jim?
When you look at the side load of a system like this, is it reasonable just to look at the level of the side load, or more reasonable to look at the entire energy in the side load pattern?
Yeah, but in receive, if you emphasize it, the energy will be much more low.
Are there other questions? Are there questions for any of the three speakers? If not, I think we should all thank the three speakers for a very, very nice presentation. That concludes this session. I remind you that there is coffee and juice in the commercial exhibits area.